Hey there, welcome to a brand new episode of the Podcast Manager Show. In today's episode, I am talking with Michelle Glogovac. Michelle is going to be sharing how you can repurpose your podcast or your client's podcast in so many different ways. And I loved this interview with Michelle, number one, because she is one of my students, but also because she was doing this before she even found me, and she's just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to podcast management. She gave me some repurposing ideas that I hadn't even thought of. So this is a really cool episode that you're not going to want to miss. All right, let's go talk to Michelle. Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. I mean, in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Hey, Michelle, I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Oh, thank you, Lauren. I am so excited to get to chat with you, not just be online friends.
Right. And you're a podcast host and you work behind the scenes. So this is like your wheelhouse, just like it's my wheelhouse.
Yes, absolutely. And it was more behind the scenes than it was in front of the mic for a long time. So
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about repurposing podcasts, but also your story on how you got started in the podcasting industry. So let's start off with, how did you get started working online?
So I was in corporate aviation for 18 years. I sold jet fuel to corporate flight departments. I saved rich people money and, you know, I worked with the famous people and CEOs and all of that stuff. And I was laid off in 2018. And at the time I had two littles. They are a year apart. So they were teeny tiny. And my husband's also in corporate aviation. We were going to the same places with a nanny, with an entourage. And it was becoming expensive. And I felt like this was the sign of, you were never passionate about jet fuel. So maybe it's time to move on and find something that I really enjoyed. And quite honestly, I had no idea what that was. I did a little social media management. I did event planning because I was already good at both. And a friend of mine from a birthing class added me to a Facebook group for a business and life coach who was launching her podcast. This is September of 2018, and I did not know how to listen to a podcast. I had no idea that the iPhone that I owned had a purple button that you clicked to listen to a podcast. So this was the first podcast I was listening to, and she talked about finding your passion and your purpose. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to find it. Don't know what it is, but I'm going to find it. And I just felt really lit up, and I would share her content. Because I was like, if I'm going to find it, you can find it too. And like, there's got to be something more out there. And this host actually reached out to me and said, you obviously know my content and you like it. Do you want to start pitching me?
Ooh.
And that was my first step into the online world, really, and podcasting. And it really snowballed from not just pitching her and getting to know other hosts, but helping her get organized. Because I'm very type A, and when you have a podcast, as you know, there's a ton of moving parts. And if you're not organized, things slip through the cracks. So I just started helping her and I ended up producing her show. And then more came on board and it really snowballed from there, working behind the scenes, being able to launch, you know, knowing what works, what doesn't work. And then I decided, you know, I have a voice too, and maybe people want to hear my story. So I launched my podcast just over a year ago, My Simplified Life. And it's a story about my career switch. And, you know, I have guests on that have all had career switches. I feel like everybody basically has had a career switch or pivot.
Yeah.
So they've got a story to share. And then we end up talking about tips and tools for whatever they're currently doing and how it applies to others that are listening.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. So I love that you took us back to 2018 when so few people knew that that podcasting app existed on the iPhone, because I remember that so well. In fact, I was listening to a show back then. I still listen to it now. And she had said, just grab like people around you, your friends, your family members, grab their phones, download my podcast on their app, They're not even going to know. Maybe we'll listen to it. Maybe not. But she was just like trying to get her message out there to all these people. So I was finding it on my mother-in-law's iPad and showing her. And it's just funny to think back. Now, thankfully, a lot of people know, you know, maybe they haven't found out how to listen to a podcast yet, but they're at least like understanding, hey, this is accessible to me.
Yeah.
And so, and whether you have an iPhone or not, it's very accessible. So I'm grateful that we are in 2020 where podcasts are a lot more well known than they were even just 2 years ago, right?
And they're exploding. I feel like you and I are really lucky that we got into this when we did, although I kick myself for not knowing what a podcast was, you know, 5-10 years ago, because imagine how much further ahead we would be in our businesses. But it's a great time to even just get started. You know, even though there's a million podcasts, they're not all active and anyone can do it. That's the beauty right now of podcasting, that anyone can have a podcast. Anyone can put their voice out there. And I think more should.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So another thing that you said was that you kind of got bit by that bug of what's my passion? What's my purpose? And you went on that little journey of figuring that out. So if someone's listening that's on that path, you know, they've been listening to a business coach or a life coach telling them like, hey, there's more, there's more from your 9-to-5 that you're working right now. Do you have any tips for those people sitting in that spot on how to start the journey of finding what they're passionate about?
Try new things. Be open to trying something. You know, I didn't know what a podcast was. I knew what a podcast was, but I didn't know what went into it. And I wasn't afraid to just dip my toes into it and then jump in. And I think it's important to recognize also the things that you love to do and to know that it's okay to pivot and move, you know, from writing show notes to doing graphics. And to editing, if you don't like doing a certain part of it, you don't have to do it. That's the whole part of finding your passion. What is it that excites you and what makes you want to get out of bed in the morning and do it? You know, for me, I've always been a relationship person. That's why I was in sales for 18 years. I built relationships with people. And it wasn't just about me saving you a dime on your jet fuel. It was that I knew who your family was. I knew when your kids' birthdays were. It's all about these relationships. And podcasting is no different from anything else. And really, any job that you look at has that relationship piece that's to it. And so I found out that I really enjoy that. I like making these connections and building these relationships. So that's now what I do with clients and with hosts. And, you know, it just builds upon each other that's what I'm passionate about. And I'm also passionate about taking voices and stories and letting people know you need to be heard. You know, there's someone out there that needs to hear your story. Someone needs to know that they're not alone in whatever it is they're going through. You've been there, you've done that, and it's okay, no matter what it is, you know, good, bad, otherwise. So I think it's really important to figure that out. What is it that you are doing that you love doing? And, you know, I did an episode today in which I'm talking about if you don't like your job and you're dreading getting out of bed in the morning, not always do you have the option to just quit your job and go find your passion, but find out what it is that you do like doing and take 15, 30 minutes a day and do that. You know, if you love writing, then get up 30 minutes early and write something. So you start your day in that mindset of, I really love what I'm doing and I get this opportunity, and then get your job done. And you still have that time to savor of doing what you enjoy doing. And even if you start 15 minutes a day of doing that, you'll figure out what that passion is because it's something that you want to keep coming back to.
Yes. Oh, that's such great advice. And you reminded me that I was in that position years ago where I was trying to figure out my purpose and my passion and all of that. And it was very elusive. And it took a long time for me to figure that out. When I say a long time, like 5 years of really thinking about it, you know, and trying a lot of stuff and it not working out and all of that. But one of the things that I was surprised by when I really felt like I was in the right spot, when I started podcast editing and I became a podcast manager and I really loved what I was doing and I had my young girls, and I realized like when I wake up every morning, like a lot of days are hard with a 2-year-old and then a 3 and a 1. That's hard. Yeah. Even though I wanted to do it so badly and I wanted that part-time work, stay at home with my kids, I realized like this is what I've worked for, yet it's not rainbows and butterflies. So I had to come to terms with that of, you know, this is where I'm supposed to be right now. But it doesn't mean that I'm kind of floating on cloud nine. It means that I'm in my purpose right now. I used to think that that meant that things were going to be perfect and I was going to be happy all the time. But really, it was more of just that sense of I'm in the right spot.
Yeah. And, you know, that also goes into, you hear a lot of people, there's that you should hustle. No, you shouldn't have to hustle. Like, there's that yin and that yang of what do I do? And, you know, I had a conversation last week with a gal and I said, you are going to hustle and it's going to feel like a boatload of work in the beginning, but you have to do all the things. And then you'll get to that point where you don't have to do all the things, or you'll figure out what you do enjoy doing and things will settle down and there will be a calm, you know, but you do have to hustle. That's no joke. If you want to get something out there, you're going to have to learn and set up a business and set up a website and do all of these other things. So there is a hustle component. And, you know, then we go into balance. And it's like this whole thing of what more is there, and balance is living in the moment, enjoying wherever you are. And I know for both of us, we have that opportunity to live in the moment with our kids because of our jobs and what we do. And we also have the chance to live like we are right now on this interview of having this moment to do what we love doing and knowing that they're fine too. Yeah. And they also realize and recognize that we enjoy what we're doing. And I think that's really important for our kids.
Yes. Yeah. I really think it's important too. You know, modeling that, whether it's work or a hobby that you're doing, you're still modeling that, hey, mom and dad are taking time away from the family to fill our cups and continue growing and to continue finding stuff that's our passion. So yeah, whether it's a job or not, you're still taking time away to be your own person.
Absolutely.
So let's dive back into, you know, you launched this business. What are the things that you're doing now that you really love as far as podcast management goes?
Really, I love the pitching side. I love connecting people with hosts, getting the messages that are just the right fit for the podcast and building those relationships. I love that. And then I also love the strategy behind your podcast growth and how you need to do that, because I think there's this misconception for new podcasters that, well, if I just put the episode out there, then people will come. People won't come because how are they going to find you? And when you start out small, you know, you get hidden in the searches. And so I've leaned into the repurposing that we'll talk about, but that's become something that lights me up too, is to identify ways that you can market your podcast and to make it easy, that it's not this additional work and hours to be everywhere, that there are ways that you can appear to be everywhere when you're not spending 40 hours a week, you know, marketing your podcast, but it'll bring you still the same growth.
Yeah.
So that's really what I've been enjoying and, you know, creating some courses around that. That's lighting me up right now.
I love that. And when you said that you were always good at communicating and you love connecting with people, I thought like, oh, that's why you love the pitching, because the pitching is bringing people together. And it's really fun for that reason, especially once you're in the podcasting world, then it's really easy to like connect other people that are no-brainers. Like, oh, this, of course, this person's going to be excellent for this podcast. And you've already made a connection with them from them being on another show that you help with. So I love that once you're in the podcasting space and you start connecting with people, it just kind of flows.
And it's a small space. For being a million podcasts, like we all kind of know each other at a certain, you know, you've heard of each other. And so it makes it easier. And I listen to all the podcasts that I'm pitching to, so I get a feel for who it is and, you know, what the show's about. And that's an important piece, is to be able to relate to that host. In addition to relating to my clients, we do deep dives where it's like a therapy session. They're figuring out stuff about their backstory that they didn't even realize, you know, was important. So it's definitely an intimate level that I really enjoy doing that part.
Yeah. So let's dive into the repurposing, because I want to kind of piece this out so that our listeners can learn a lot. Where do you start with repurposing podcasts?
I think the easiest place to start is really two, is to have show notes, because you're going to be able to pull all of this micro content for repurposing from your show notes. And then you also need to have graphic templates. I say start this process when you start your podcast, because if you have the graphics all done, templates, you know, not that you're changing them every aesthetic on it, you're going to change the title, the episode number, and that headshot if you're doing that sort of a thing. And that's really all that's going to take the changing of every single week. But to have this all set up, the different sizes for Instagram feed, for Instagram stories, Pinterest, Facebook, you know, all of these things that will take different sizes, have them set up from the get-go. And then that way it's just plug and play down the line. Then for the show notes, I do blog style show notes. So there's a summary overall, and then we break it down into pieces that are the big topics and then summaries of those. But then they also include quotes and timestamps. So the timestamps are all under 60 seconds because that's all the time you have in an Instagram story. And the quotes are usually under 15 seconds because that wouldn't make for a good timestamp because it's less than the 15 second frame. So you can have 10 quotes, and that's now 10 pieces of content that you can create different graphics for. You know, people don't realize that just because you have an episode doesn't mean that you only talk about it once. Mm-hmm. You can pull the various topics and talk about it whenever. It doesn't just have to be the week that it comes out. 6 months from now, talk about it again, because chances are people don't remember. One of my first episodes is about my career switch, and I posted about it just last week. And someone said, I had no idea you were in aviation, but it was one of the first episodes, the whole premise of my podcast. So people forget, and it's something that all of us need to remember, like keep repeating yourself.
So true.
Yeah. You think that you're repeating yourself, but you're really not, because not everybody's reading or listening to what you have to say. So set up the show notes and your graphics as your first and foremost to get started. And then I love Libsyn. I'm a Libsyn fan. Like, I should work for them. I love them so much. But they make it so easy on their platform that you can connect your YouTube channel to it. They have your Twitter account, and you can literally type in whatever unique caption you want for your episodes in Twitter, and they'll automatically upload that with your episode, so you don't have to touch it. You know, you plug in your YouTube channel and they take your cover art as the thumbnail and they upload that with your show notes. So it's all there. It's something that you don't have to think about. It just does it by itself. And I think that makes it inexcusable to not be there on those two platforms at the very least. I think that Pinterest is also one that people forget about that you should be on, because it's no longer the crafts and recipes. People are looking for entrepreneur tips. They're looking for marketing tools, online businesses. And it's just a great platform to put your podcast on. And it doesn't take, I saw someone say yesterday, but it takes me hours to do Pinterest. No, it doesn't. You can use the same graphic from your Instagram stories, the same audiogram, and put those up there. It really does not take much time at all. So just simply do it. And these are just the ways that other people that aren't simply on Instagram, because so many of us are just posting on Instagram all the time. People are out there that are more than just Instagram. LinkedIn's another great one. If, you know, this is a great podcast for LinkedIn because people want to know about businesses and tips and tools. True crime, probably not so much. But, you know, you pick your platforms. And so I've identified 16 different places, platforms that you can post your podcast to using just graphics and show notes.
Yeah, that's amazing. I didn't know that Libsyn would automatically upload to YouTube. That was what I didn't know about. So have you gone back and looked at how many people are viewing your podcast or one of your clients, whatever you want to talk about, what type of downloads or views you're getting on YouTube?
YouTube isn't huge. I might get a couple, but still that's two more, in my opinion, than not. You know, if somebody would like to go to YouTube to listen to it on that platform, go for it. You know, it's the fact that it doesn't take me more time to put it up there that I say I'll just do it. You know, it's not taking anything away from me to have it linked and automatically upload.
Yeah, that makes sense. Plus, I think one of the benefits of YouTube is that the SEO is so strong on YouTube. People are using it as a search engine, whereas few people are getting in the podcasting apps and typing in keywords. Like maybe you'd search like business show, but you're not going to search podcast management. Maybe, but people aren't using the podcasting apps like that right now. And the SEO, it just isn't as rich versus when you get on YouTube, it's a lot easier to find stuff on YouTube right now, at least.
Yeah. And since it pulls your entire show note description, to me, that's powerful. That's exactly what we're talking about with the SEO and mm-hmm. being searchable in that regard. So yeah, I think that's another reason why people should have show notes and not just transcriptions, because it can be so much more of value.
Mm-hmm. So talking about your show notes, how do you kind of do this? When you're listening or editing a show, are you writing down or taking the clips out as you're going? Or do you get a transcription and then kind of weed through it that way?
I listen to it and I will take notes on my computer on a Google Doc. I actually used to, in all honesty, take handwritten notes and then retype them. And I was like, you know, it's taken a long time, but I'm such a note taker. So now I do it in a Google Doc and, you know, I'll notate, oh, that was a good timestamp. And once you start listening, you get that feel for, oh, this is a good section. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, something that people are going to want to hear. And the same thing goes for the quotes. You'll just get that tidbit. And even if you have to rewind and grab it again, they just stand out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I do it in a Google Doc while I'm listening, not on a transcription.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you're not transcribing it at all?
No.
After you listen to it, you're saying, okay, this is kind of how I'm going to break down this episode with these four headers or these four main points. And then you're rewriting or summarizing those kind of sections.
Yeah.
So I like that it's really all that work is kind of done up front and then you're repurposing the show notes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, ultimately.
Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, a couple of years ago that a lot of people weren't even doing show notes on their website. And still, I find a lot, you know, people are confused by what show notes are. They wonder, is it an episode description that you're seeing inside the podcasting app, or is it something on a website? So if in case you're thinking that while listening, we're talking about what's on a website. You know, it's a blog post, essentially.
Exactly. And even now, so we're talking about Libsyn, you know, if you just post your entire show notes in the top section for the episode description and you leave the Apple description blank, Apple actually pulls all of it. It doesn't give mm-hmm. you that character limit. So that's a beautiful thing too, because I'll see that people put in something really short, you know, on Apple, but you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So leave it blank, everybody.
Yes, I realize that. I used to, maybe a year and a half ago, I wasn't writing an episode description for someone I was working with. She was having her copywriter write it. And so I would have the copywriter write a short one for iTunes/Apple and a short one for everything else. And one day I was just like, you know what? Let's just leave Apple blank and see what happens. And you're right. It pulls that long one. So
yeah,
that's a sneaky way. And because the Apple limit is way too short. It's not helpful at all.
Yeah. And especially if you're writing blog style show notes, they're not going to fit. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why they do that. Apple, yeah. If you're listening, don't change it. unless you want to make it longer.
Yeah.
And then so another tip for that one is, since I hyperlink all of my links for my website, I actually write out the link in the Libsyn description. So that way it's shown in the Apple one because they don't hyperlink it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you usually like have it in quotes or in parentheses?
I'll have it just below it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll have the hyperlinked link and then below it, I'll have the actual website address written out. So that way, when I move it over to my website, I can just delete the actual address and I still have the hyperlinked one there.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So while we're thinking of like all of these, we're talking of all these ways that we can repurpose, like that's really what a podcast manager is for too, is, you know, this might feel like a lot of things for your client, but as the podcast manager, you're able to kind of streamline this process and make it so much easier and on yourself, even make it easier on yourself. But then you're allowing your client to be seen by all these people. And then your role as the podcast manager is just that much more valuable.
Absolutely. Because now you're taking on this marketing role and mm-hmm. the growth. And that's really what every podcaster who comes to you is looking for. How can you help me market my podcast? Where should I be? And when you have this arsenal of platforms to say, oh, I can make sure you're on all 16 of these platforms and it's really no extra work. You know, it's a little bit to post them there, but it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, another one is like Bloglovin. It's a blogging website that you link your website to it. It verifies your website like Pinterest would. And then it automatically just pulls all of your blog posts. So all of your show notes. But the beauty is that when you go to that website and people follow you and your quote unquote blog, they click on it and it redirects them back to your website. So it's a beautiful thing because now they're still coming back to you. They just found you somewhere else. It's just like a Google search, you know, oh, there's your link, but you click on it and now it's back to your website.
Wow.
So doing stuff like that or posting your show notes on Medium, that's another great place. It's free. So why not? They're just easy places to copy and paste your, you can copy and paste your show notes on a Medium or you can put in the link and it automatically pulls your show notes. So there's nothing to do. I mean, it's really so simple that you can repurpose your podcast at least in an hour a week, you know, at most, and then take some of that information, take your show notes and everything else. And now you have more content to put in all of these same places, even more so. So it's just a great strategy, I think. I'm biased, but I think if you can be everywhere multiple times, then why not?
Yeah. So then for these like more blog style platforms like Medium, strategy wise, are you thinking of pulling these people ultimately back to the audio, back to the podcast? Or are you just thinking they're going to read this blog post that is the podcast and that's good enough?
No, my hope is to then drive them to the website or to Apple, to wherever it is. But at least if they're on Medium, if that's where they go to find their information, then at least I'm present.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's really my goal. At least they know who I am and they can get familiar with it and, you know, look it up and follow and all the links are there. So, you know, it just becomes a place to be that they'll come to you. If they see what you're putting out and they like it, then they'll start coming to you.
Yeah. And I think one thing, I love this Medium tip because Medium is a place where people, if they really like that article, they're going to then tell other people about it on social media. So versus maybe your show notes, not as much, but because I feel like maybe Medium is more third party. So they're like, oh, this is an awesome article about podcast management or whatever. People will be sharing it with other people that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. I love it. So what about repurposing for more social media content? Do you like to create extra Instagram posts with those quotes, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I found myself, I'll do my own solo and I go, oh, that was a really good quote I made. And then I'll go make a graphic of my own quote, you know, and put it up there. And I do that for all of my guests too. That's something great to give your guests is not just the episode graphic, but graphics with their quotes in it, because everyone loves to see their name, you know, posted somewhere that, oh, I'm so quotable. These are some great quotes and they came from me and I was on this podcast. So these are great things for you, for your social media, plug it on your stories, to plug it in your feed, to plug it on Facebook, and then even on Pinterest. Pinterest loves quote. People love quotes on Pinterest. I've noticed that they also love audiograms, but they love the quotes because then they can, you know, have their motivational board or their marketing board and they're putting these quotes on those boards. So yeah, I much more than just an episode graphic with the title, I'll put more into it than that.
Yeah. Yeah, you make a good point that you definitely want to be adding these things to like your Instagram stories too, because then I found that some guests, they might not want to use those graphics to post like, hey, I was on this podcast, like if they're on a lot of shows or something. But if you put it in your stories, they'll reshare. It feels like more of like a humble thing, I think is where it comes from. It's like, oh, I don't necessarily want to talk about another podcast I'm on, but I'll definitely reshare. You know what I mean?
And a tip on that when you're having a guest. So I've had it where other podcast hosts will say, well, the graphic didn't match my aesthetic in my feed. And I'm like, that's so lame. Like you were on this podcast and they're promoting you. So one tip I would give is if it doesn't match an aesthetic, and whether this is for you as the manager and your clients on podcasts or you've been on podcasts, you can post something else in your feed and make that the graphic behind it. So your algorithm actually goes up because they're swiping to the next graphic, but you still have that graphic in there and you can still tag the host. And, you know, it means the world to a host to say, oh, you used my graphic in your feed. If it doesn't match your aesthetic, then use a graphic in front of it. You know, it's a win-win.
Yeah. That's a good point, because sometimes the guests, they might think, well, maybe my audience isn't going, or my following on Instagram, let's say, isn't going to notice that this is my post because it doesn't look like my posts.
Right.
So yeah, that could be another reason that they don't want to use it. But I use that strategy on my own Instagram because I don't want my feed to look like podcast episode after podcast episode. Mm-hmm. So I kind of mix it up and put stuff behind other things so that it kind of stays fresh. So that's such a good tip. You can use it in a couple different ways of, you know, using a headshot before a graphic that's your kind of your standard episode, new episode graphic.
Right.
Yeah. Love that. Any other tips that you have on repurposing that a podcast manager should know?
Go back to episodes. You know, it's not just the current ones. And that's even hard for me to remember for my own podcast, is that I have 57 episodes. People might not have listened to all 57. So go back, whether it's pulling a quote or creating social media content that's around a topic. And you can say, hey, if you go back to episode 3 of the podcast, I actually talked all about this and here's what it was. And that's what creating this micro content really is all about. It's mm-hmm. having your podcast as the main content, but pulling from it in so many different ways. And for a long period of time, your podcast episode isn't just good for the week that it goes live. You know, it's got a big life. It's got longevity. And remember to use it. Don't be afraid to go back. And I think that's why, even if you're a social media manager, not just a podcast manager, but social media management for podcast hosts, they need to use this too.
Mm-hmm.
Because creating content's hard. You know it. I know it. Where anyone who's on Instagram knows that it takes time and effort to put posts together. And if you have all of this content already written, pull from it, make your life easier, and go back. Definitely mm-hmm. go back. Go start with episode 1 and start pulling things, and it'll just make life easier down the road.
Yeah, that's so powerful. You know, that could be time consuming, but I think that it would be so powerful, like a great way to spend your time. Because even with podcast episodes, while you're listening to them, you can think, oh, I could kind of take a tangent here. I could take a tangent here. So it wouldn't necessarily just be about that episode, but about something that was just said on that episode that makes you think, you know, I could do a new episode on this topic, on just this topic, or I can just create a bunch of social media content from this kind of tangent that I thought of during the episode.
And if you have the show notes already written for you, then you don't have to go back and listen to them. You know, mm-hmm. you've got all of these quotes. Like in my feed, I do at least 2 or 3 quotes a week. I can pull from previous show notes that are already written. They're on my website. They're in my Google Drive. And I can use those if I want to. And that also promotes the podcast while you're doing it.
Yeah. And ultimately, you know, we all know that our followers on Instagram, let's say, they don't see everything that we post. And people need to be reminded about stuff all the time. Like I actually love hearing stuff that I already know over and over again because it hits me differently. Or mm-hmm. I think, oh, I used to kind of think about this way. But now, you know, as I've grown in my business or grown as a person, I think about it a different way. So repeating stuff is so powerful. Number one, people aren't going to see it as much as you think they will. And they need so much reminding.
Yeah. They absolutely do. You know, it goes along with tell them in their own words what they need. Like basically you're just repeating back exactly what they just asked you. And everyone goes, oh, yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So make it simple and repeat yourself. It's mm-hmm. okay to repeat yourself in this category.
Yeah. And you can even go look back at your podcasting stats and see, okay, what are my top episodes, and do repurpose those episodes in different ways. So your listeners and your audience is thinking, oh, she's always talking about what I want to know about. And it's because you're talking about the things that your audience has already showed you they're interested in.
Exactly. That's a great point. Yeah.
So what do you think about this? Right now, one of my clients, she has about 140 episodes, and she goes through phases where she gets burnout on content creation. So then we get creative and think, okay, how can we get some fresh content without her doing a ton of work? So we've done Facebook Live repurposing for a month before, but I didn't love it because I think Facebook Lives are like, we took a Facebook Live and turned it into a podcast episode. but they're so different. The vibe of them is so different to me. So what we're doing right now in the month of November is I'm actually taking her episodes that, like, you know, episode 40, episode 50, that are really buried in her catalog. And I'm going back and re-editing them, taking out stuff that doesn't make sense anymore. And then we're publishing them as new episodes. So what do you think about that?
That's not a bad idea. Something else you could do is like taking parts of previous episodes and combining them into one. I did this with a client where we looked at who her top guests were. And then I went through and took out a certain amount of time for each episode that was the most powerful. And we combined them with intros to each in between. You know, this guest was this great because of these reasons. And then you can listen to that audio clip. So that's another thing that you can do as well.
Yes, I love that. That takes a, like, another level of creativity, but I love, right? I mean, it just does. It's like, okay, how can we blend these all together? And you as the podcast manager would need to, like, piece out those pieces and then tell your client, okay, I need you to talk about kind of this so I can weave from this guest to this guest or whatever. So I love those episodes.
It's more work, but...
yeah, but if you're doing it kind of one-off, I love, like, a creative challenge. So I'm like, yes, I will do this, like, once every 6 months or whatever.
Or an anniversary episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or as a landmark, like, a, you know, their 100th episode or yeah, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Love that. Love that idea. Well, this has been so awesome. Thank you so much for sharing these tips.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. So where can our listeners learn more about you and more about what you're teaching on repurposing?
So my website is themslcollective.com and my podcast is My Simplified Life. That's where the MSL comes from. I'm on Instagram, Michelle Glogovac. Repurpose Your Podcast is actually at repurposeyourpodcast.com, but there's links also on Instagram and the website and everywhere else.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'll have those in my show notes so that everyone can find you. And just thanks so much again for being on.
Oh, thank you. It's been so much fun.
Thanks. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook and let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.